This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode 19 of Songs with Friends. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me is my co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am once again fighting the dreaded Ebola virus. Nation, if my voice is a little different this week, or if it changes throughout the course of the show, that is what's going on. I've been coughing and hacking and sneezing and coughing and hacking some more for like 11 days now.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time we recorded, it was a Thursday, and then that Sunday is when I died and was resurrected.
Yes.
So, yes.
At what point does someone go to the doctor? I know you're a medical professional, but at what point is someone like, oh, I'll go, maybe?
You know, I'm a medical professional in the loosest sense of the word.
More than I am.
I passed a test one time 6 years ago. And since then, I have strapped people into chairs, given shots into asses, and passed out Tylenol.
Well,
I don't know that I'm all that professional at anything medically speaking.
I'm just curious. Because one time I got bronchitis because I just was like, oh, it's just a cold. It's just a cold. Then, I was like sick for like 6-8 weeks after still, because it turned into bronchitis. So,
well, many people in my workspace have had similar symptoms. And it's the kind of thing that is really intense early, but then there's a nagging cough for weeks. So I'm not overly worried about it. I appear to be past the worst part of it.
Okay, good. You do sound better, so.
Well, thank you.
Did you find luggage?
I did. I ordered luggage. It will be here. Let's see, today is Friday night. It should be here by Wednesday.
Oh, awesome.
All right, quick sidebar. Shout out to Kevin. He loves these sidebars. So this afternoon I tweeted, oh yeah, hey guys, I just remembered I'm going on a flight and I do not own luggage. So I'm going to take care of that this weekend. I needed groceries anyway, so I went to Walmart partially to scope out the luggage situation there. Because I live in hick-ass USA and Walmart is the only thing out here. So I get to Walmart and there's this lady just like standing in front of the automatic doors, saying, we're not letting anyone in because the power is out and we cannot check anyone out. Keep in mind, she's standing in front of automatic doors, which are opening and closing every time she shifts her position. So I don't know if perhaps the cash registers run on a different form of power, perhaps plutonium, or if it's a solar power situation.
Very curious.
Yeah, I was just taken aback by the wackiness of this Walmart situation. So I went to
Walmart is where all the fun happens in Crestwood, Kentucky, though.
Yeah, I went to another Walmart in nearby LaGrange. I was able to get what I needed and play with some luggage and figure out dimensions and whatnot. So yeah, I'm good now.
Awesome.
Yeah, fuck you, Walmart, for not letting me do that.
So you found something you liked and you ordered it online?
I ordered something similar online.
Awesome. Cool.
All right. But enough about not that nonsense.
Luggage is important.
It is. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the concept of Songs with Friends, here's what we do. We find popular songs or sometimes not so popular songs. We read the lyrics like we do every Sunday in church. And we figure out the narrative, try to figure out a backstory. Maybe we just make some shit up. Who knows? This week, I am going first, and I picked a song from 1975 off the album called The Original Soundtrack, which is a great name for an album. This is 10cc, I'm Not in Love. The reason I picked this song was just recently introduced to me by a friend of the show, Jeff. You can follow him at Jeff versus the World on Twitter. Excuse me, I'll try not to cough too much. But I've had this song wrong the whole time. I built a couple narratives myself just in listening to it. And I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag now. I was reading about it earlier, and apparently the gentleman who wrote the song wrote it as a almost being a smart-ass counterpoint to his wife, who complained about him never telling her that he loves her. He said, well, you know, if I tell you every day, then it's not special when I do. So he wrote this song about all the ways you can tell someone you love them under the guise of not being in love. Just kind of a reverse psychology situation.
Wow.
Yeah, I had it all fucked up.
I'm like, wow. But, I have a lot of thoughts on that. Okay.
Yeah. So let's get into it. We'll start here. He opens up with, I'm not in love, so don't forget it. That's just a silly phase I'm going through. Now, not knowing the backstory, we'll just go ahead and pretend like that never happened.
You know, we'll you should have told us that later. Now I can't get it out of my mind.
Yeah, we'll go in blind here. To me, this sounded like someone who is, we talk a lot about one-sided relationships on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this sounded like a guy who was going after someone that he knew was into him, but that he was not into her. And he was just there for the night, so to speak. Like, I'm not in love. Don't forget it. I'm going to give them drawers, but you're just a phase. I'm not sticking
okay.
around.
See, what I was thinking was it was somebody who I was thinking he was really was into her, but didn't want her to know how much. You know what I mean? Like, because she was maybe being kind of like, eh. So that's how I was taking it. Like, oh, you're just a silly phase. But I was thinking, yeah, he really is into this chick. I don't know why. I just took it differently.
You know, that is funny because I talked about this song at work pretty recently. And the lady I work with had the same stance that you did.
Mm-hmm.
That it's almost like he's not wanting to admit to himself that he has the feelings that he does, which I think there is evidence later in the song to support that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he goes...
We can argue about this, though.
No, we can bicker and banter.
Yes.
Says, and just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you've got it made. To me, that's just like a cold son of a bitch thing to say. Look, yes. I might call you. You might get the call tonight. But no. Don't you get comfortable here. If I see your toothbrush in that bathroom, it is fucking curtains.
I'm actually kind of concerned about what kind of marriage they had to you. I get what he's saying about that. Well, I shouldn't tell you I love you all the time. You know, I get some of that, but it's like actions speak louder than words kind of thing. But what does that have? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it ties into what he's saying it's about.
See, I think this is just him kind of being the ultimate smartass about it.
Like, oh, you know about that.
I am a bit of a smartass myself. Says, look, I'm going to call you every day, but don't you think I love you? Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. As opposed to literally, hey, look here, I'm going to call you, bitch, but you aren't the one.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But I think, again, it's that thing, like, sometimes people, like, you talk about that, you know, the balance of power or whatever in relationships. And it's like, you know, not wanting someone to maybe realize how much you're into them. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like, I'm calling you, but don't let that head, you know, your head get big. But he's calling because he wants to call. I mean,
right. You're
calling her. I don't know. Why are you calling her? A lot of guys do not call people, period. Of course, it's the 70s, but still.
Well, this is like the trademark of an abusive relationship, too. You see a lot of that wanting to put somebody down and not want them to get a big head, so to speak. You want them to think they are less than.
Mm-hmm. Just yeah, that's why I'm not... That's why, yeah, dating doesn't sound fun. It's like a game. It's like, you know, you have to... a lot of my friends that are actively dating, and then it's like, if you're into someone and you like spending time with them, I don't want to pretend like I don't like them, so they'll like them. I mean, that's too much. I don't want to do all that. I'm a grown-up, so...
All righty. So, let's see. It says, I like to see you, but then again, that doesn't mean you mean that much to me.
God.
What a dick, man.
He's an asshole. He's probably getting laid all the time, too.
Oh, I guarantee with the mullet and the mustache these boys had, oh, yeah, they were tearing up some 1975 sex.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Says, I like to see you, but then again, that doesn't mean you mean that much to me. So if I call you, don't make a fuss. Don't tell your friends about the two of us. Like, hold up. Like, I'm going to come here every so often. I'm going to call you. Come by the middle of the night. But don't you tell your friends that you have a boyfriend. That's not what this is.
You ain't shit to me.
Like, I... And part of that, too, is, like, is he trying to possibly recruit the friends?
Oh, my God. Probably.
Like, you know, I don't tell them we're together because I don't want them to think I'm a dog when I'm going after them.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I was just talking to my daughter about that. You don't date someone that dates your friend, girl. But anyways, that's crazy.
It is poor form. Now, if you do go that route, you have to make a decision. Like, are you going to be friends going forward? Probably not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm not in love. No, no. It's because. And then there's this weird little refrain. It says, I keep your picture up on the wall. It hides a nasty stain that's lying there.
This is the whole most disturbing thing of this song. I'm like... That word, just what's happening?
Stain?
What's there?
You know, it was the 70s. Everybody was smoking. A possible nicotine-stained wall, or maybe fell asleep with the lighter or the cigarette in his hand. Perhaps there's some flame damage.
Maybe.
Probably.
Probably.
Now, to me, this part leads more credence to your theory of not wanting to admit how much he feels for her. You know, yeah, I keep your picture on the wall, but it's no big deal. Like, it's just because there's something that I need to hide. You know, I don't like looking at you.
Yeah, I call you, your picture's on the wall, the dude's in love with you. That's
clearly. So don't you ask me to give it back. I know you know it doesn't mean that much to me. So just again, you know, not only am I using your picture to cover up a stain, but then it gets real defensive. Oh, no, please don't take it back, though. Like, this is low-key important to me. I'm trying not to sell it.
Yeah. Well, in the 70s, too, like, you couldn't get that picture again, maybe. So you didn't want to give up a picture.
Yeah,
now it's, like, not even a big deal if you lose pictures. You're like, it's on my phone. It's on my, you know.
You have to go back to JCPenney. There's a whole afternoon.
Yeah. If it wasn't just a random picture taken at a party with someone's camera, you know?
My goodness. So then he just keeps repeating, oh, you'll wait a long time for me. Oh, you'll wait a long time. To me, that's... Oh, man. You keep going back and forth with the ideologies here. This is kind of what made me think, you know, hey, I'm going to be out being a player and doing whatever the hell I want to do. You can wait for me if you want to, but you'll be waiting a long-ass time because I'm going to be busy running through you and your friends.
I feel like he's saying it, you're going to wait. It's not like, will you? It's almost like, you're going to wait. You're going to wait for me, but it might be a long time, but I know you're still going to be there. Which is weird because it's almost like he's just messing with her head.
He is. It's a lot of gamesmanship going on here.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I still can't. I mean, I get it. Like you're saying, he's being a smartass to his wife because my niece and her husband, they deal with this, the love thing, because she is not one that says that. Like it's just not. And he's a person that likes to hear it. And it's actually like a struggle in their marriage. You know what I mean? Because he's like, how hard is it to say that? And she's like, well, I show you all the time that I love you. You know what I mean? You don't need me to say it. So it's like, to her, it's like, that's stupid. You don't need to say that. You're my husband. You know I love you. I married you. But to him, it's like, I want to hear it. So
to me, even if you feel like maybe it's silly, if you know it's important to the other person, you know, to me, that's one of those sacrifices you make.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a little thing that, you know, makes them feel valued. You know, say it. If you mean it, say it. If you don't mean it, that's another thing. But
Yeah. If you're falsely telling someone you love them, you are a piece of shit. No, I'm just
kidding. Can confirm.
That's like a horrible thing. But, well, I don't know. I think sometimes, like, when you're young, I mean, I'm going to give, like, teenagers a pass on this because I think, like, my first boyfriend ever is like, I love you. Oh, I love you. And I was like, I had no fucking idea. No, I didn't. But I was just like, that's what you say after you're going out for a little bit of time. You know what I mean? It just felt like, yeah, okay, but I didn't even know what that meant, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. I started dating my first girlfriend on a Wednesday, like the following Friday, like 9 days later. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love you.
Were you in junior high or high school?
I was 16 years old. Keep in mind, I was 16, and like that was my first kiss and everything. So,
Steve, shut up. I didn't know this.
Yes.
I don't think.
Like I told you, I had this whole history of rejection and tomfoolery.
Oh.
So when this all finally started to come together for me, like it came together, I'm like, all right, you're the one.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. Yeah. Did it last a long time?
Off and on from 16 to 20.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Then you were good. You didn't say it to, like, you know, it wasn't like you guys broke up the next week, so.
Ish. Oh, shit. Let's run the numbers here. This would have been mid-August. So late September, I think it was, we broke up for the first time. I could actually probably not pull up the date, but come up close. Give me a second here to bring out the old calculator here.
Oh, my God.
Mark McGuire, 62nd.
This is crazy.
Alrighty. What is the date on this? Alright, so yeah, it was a wow.
We're really pulling like your receipts.
Like, it was probably around the 15th of September that we broke up.
Oh my gosh. Your memory.
I remember like the week that it was falling apart. I was on the I was on the phone with her. And it just kind of, you know, realizing that it was going wrong. But at the same time,
6 weeks in, right?
I have the TV on in my room and Mark McGuire hit number 62.
Oh my gosh.
So I like yelped at that. So then she's pissed at me because I'm celebrating some stupid baseball thing. I'm like, you don't understand. Like it's been 38 years.
Why? Wow.
Like people thought this record was never going to be broken. I got to see it. Like, it's nuts. It's like, yeah. Well, I'm leaving you. I'm like, all right, we can talk about that later.
So how many times do you think you broke up in your 4 years or whatever?
Oh, man.
Do you all know?
Right, let's run the numbers here again. There was that time. That's one. A springtime 99 day or two breakup. That's two. We broke up for a full year the next time. That's three. All right. I'll count this too. We kind of fiddle-fucked around a little bit for a month or two and then separated again. That's four. And then then for good was the fifth breakup.
Okay. That's so funny. That's not that bad, I guess. I'm not... I don't have a lot of experience with that, so that's interesting to me. It's like, we broke up, we're done, for the most part.
All right, so, yeah, we wrapped this on pretty early, so let's just go ahead and fill some time with a quick sidebar of this relationship.
Okay.
So we started dating that August of 1998. We break up in September, and she is, like, it's not even my first breakup, like, it's my first, like, betrayal. Like, she's dating a friend of mine, and that was a mess. I was openly threatening to kick his ass, like to him in classes.
Oh my.
It was a mess.
So they're going out, like now they're like walking around school holding hands, right? Yeah. Like they're a couple. Okay.
Yeah, but like at the same time, like she realizes that I'm I almost said I'm better. That sounds like a dick. But
that,
like
you want to say you
that I was more that I was more appropriate for her.
So you changed that so much.
So she's still, like, with him, but, like, telling me that she wants to get back with me, and I'm flaunting that because I'm a little 16-year-old asshole. So, anyway, we get back together, and let's see, that spring we broke up, it was me initiating at that time. We're in advanced choir together, and I break up with her on the phone, and the next day she's all sad and shit at school, but we have a choir performance at night. And she's standing there with me trying to talk, and she's crying and whatnot. And one of the special needs kids kids came up and grabbed her ass.
Oh my God.
And she's crying, but she's like redirecting him the way we were told to redirect him if something like that happens. Like smile and wave, smile and wave.
Oh my God.
We're supposed to get the kids to wave as an appropriate greeting.
What the
hell? And like part of the humor of that situation, like I couldn't stop laughing about it.
Oh my God.
And by the end of that night, like we're together again. It's, you know how it is when you're 16, 17 years old.
Yeah. Well, not really, but yes, I know how others are.
Yeah. And then the third breakup where we were apart for over a year, that was weird, weird, weird. Like we were declining and we were going to the homecoming game and waiting for my mom to take us. And she just kind of starts playfully hitting me and then like keeps getting more and more intense to where she's full on like taking swings at me.
Oh my God. But, like, your mom's going to beat her up.
But, like punching me in the arm. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, oh my God.
Well, before that she got upset about something and stormed out of my room and out of the house. And I just didn't follow her because I was just tired. Like, fuck, if she wants to play that game, she wants to go out there and get kidnapped. That's on her.
Get kidnapped.
She wasn't going to get kidnapped.
That's where you lived. If you went outside at night, you're going to get kidnapped.
It was sketchy. But when she came back, she says, I just wanted you to follow me. Why didn't you follow me? I'm like, because we're fucking talk to me. I'm right here. Don't make it a damn choose your own adventure domestic situation.
That's how us women are. And actually reminds me of that. Cam did a tweet about, oh, I was in the kitchen. My girlfriend disappears for an hour.
Yes.
Comes out. And I was sitting there and I was like, I don't know why we're like that, but we are. So I was just like, kind of laughed for a little bit, even though it's not funny because it is how we are.
It is the art of the chase.
Didn't you know what I wanted? What?
No, I was 17 years old. I didn't know shit about anything.
Well, yeah. At that age, you didn't know. Now you probably know better.
And a big source of the frustration was that I was not working and that I did not have my driver's license. I had just started a new job. And the reason I did not have a driver's license is because my parents just flat out would not take me to do it. So, of course, she left me for some country dude with a truck and a job.
Oh.
Such is life.
That's so funny because my, I guess like my second real boyfriend or whatever, we went out for like a year and I broke up with him and he was so excited because he got a truck and he like came to my house and I think he thought I was going to be like, ooh, like let's get back together. So he brought his truck and he came over and I was like napping and my dad's like, oh, he's here, you know, and I went outside and he showed me his car and I was kind of like, okay, and he was just, I was just like, I still don't want to go out with you.
I hear you.
Yeah, I hear you. I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, felt so bad. I felt like we broke up again, and that was not what I was just like, oh, I felt so bad. Even though I know you think I'm too nice.
Yeah, the niceness is something that apparently developed over time.
Yeah, whatever.
All right,
no, well. I feel bad. I still think about that. So I was like, man, I probably wasn't very nice. But he still talks to me, so couldn't have been that bad.
Is this the boy that wrote a song for you?
No.
Yeah, you shut that down real quick. Like, no, if he had a truck and a song. My goodness.
No. I am super petty about shit. And in addition, yes, he did write me a song. I did have a crush on him forever, but who he made out with one of my good friends one time. So it didn't matter what he did. I was like, you're out.
So, fantastic.
Yep. That's Kelly.
I'm taking copious notes here.
Oh my God. All right. Not saying it's good. It's just how I am. So.
All right, guys. I think we've squeezed about every inch of material we could get out of 10cc this week.
Yeah, but that guy loves that woman. That's all I'm going to leave it at that.
My goodness.
Did Jeff request that to you?
No, he did not.
He put it on.
He just Twitter. Randomly mentioned it one day, and I was not familiar with the song.
Oh, okay.
And I listened to it, and I've been listening to it fairly regularly ever since. It's probably been 3 months ago.
when I first picked it, I was like, oh, this is a problem. Like, I was like, and then I was like, oh, no, I don't think it's as bad as I was thinking. So when I first, I'd heard it, but I'd never really, like, listened to it, you know? So.
All right. Now we will transition to a newer song. This is from 2004. The album was called So-Called Chaos. This is Everything by Alanis Morissette. Kelly, why did you bring the song to us this week?
Did you know it?
I did not. My Alanis Morissette knowledge cuts off about 2003.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I didn't know if you would or not. No, I don't know. I just like, I actually was, this wasn't even on my list, but I'd heard it on the radio and I was like, oh yeah, I used to love that song. And so, I think this song to me gets into the concept of like conditional and unconditional love people that you have in your life. And so, I think about that a lot, like with my parents and stuff. Like, so, you know, just kind of was like, let's do it. Nothing really more to say about that.
Yeah, I watched this video for the first time maybe an hour ago. Mm-hmm. And it was completely unfamiliar to me. Like, I'm sure I've heard this song, but yeah, it was off my radar 100%. So it was an interesting pick.
Yeah. Well, the video's like, I wonder, I mean, I didn't read much about, I've seen the video so many times. It's like she has like her long hair and people are, you know, some guy cuts it off and it's like showing her through different, I don't know, you say like different phases or situation. I don't know. It's just her walking, right?
And yes. Walking down the road of life.
Yeah, like basically. And, you know, I always think, I've never really done this, but you know, that whole thing where they're like, when a woman chops her hair, you know, to a guy, you ain't ever getting her back or whatever, you know, when she changes her hair. But it's like her hair was like long and then it's like gone, you know. And so, yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's just life. That's how it is sometimes. So yeah,
I dated a girl, actually my second serious relationship. Instead of a haircut, her big marker was a tattoo.
Oh, that, yeah, that too. That too.
At one point we were apart for a week. And when I came back, she had some ink done. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, things are going to be different now. Okay.
What was it?
She had a very small tattoo on her left breast that she ended up getting a small circle around it and get it filled in during that week or so we were apart.
Oh.
It was something abstract. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah. Well, just curious. I don't even know why I asked that.
It was death to Steve on the small of her back.
It's like, did she have your name or like, fuck Steve? Or yeah, so I was kind of wondering.
And she actually told me after, she said, yeah, that was yours. I'm like, okay then. So you want to go get some Taco Bell?
Well, that's it. Like, so, you know, and some people go do, like, I used to, when I was younger, get piercings a lot. And I have a lot of piercings in my ears. And it's like, I would just sometimes when I was pissed off, I'd just be like, I'm going to go get my ear pierced because it, I don't know, kind of hurts, kind of doesn't. It's weird, but it's just like, that's a whole nother issue. We don't have time for that.
All right.
Haven't got one in like 10 years, so I guess life's okay. So, all right, so we'll start off. These are kind of like, I'm going to do this, and I was usually only try to do like a couple lines at a time, but I just feel like how I say this song, it's going to be a little bit more. So starts off, I can be an asshole of the grandest kind. I can withhold like it's going out of style. I can be the moodiest baby you've ever, and you've never met anyone who is negative as I am sometimes. So for me, like when I'm starting this, I'm thinking, I relate to this. And like, I'm the kind of person, I like to know all of the shitty things about myself and really kind of be upfront about them. And that way, not that I would announce them to people, but if somebody were to come at me, you know, with those things, I'm like, yeah, I already know that. So you're not going to hurt me when you say that. And so I just feel like it's a self-aware thing. And also maybe it's a protection thing, but it's like, this is the bad stuff about me. So I'm just, I know it. I'm going to lay it out there. So
this is a terrible approach, Kelly.
Why?
If I see you at a bar and I approach you, and hey, how's it going? Let me buy you a bottle of water. My name's Steve. You're like, look, that's great, but I could be an asshole of the greatest kind.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why would you say bottle water?
Because it's a safe, unassuming drink.
Okay. I was just... That's just funny because that's happened to me. So I was just like, why would you say bottle water? I look like I'm lame and I don't drink. No, I'm not saying you would verbally say this to someone when you meet them, but I think it's just being self-aware of what your bad qualities are. You know what I mean? Like, some people don't, they don't either see it or realize the bad things about themselves. Not even that they're bad things, but maybe like faults, you know, like it seems like they're not aware at all of those things about themselves. So I wouldn't bring this up to somebody like the first time I met them. Maybe I might, to be honest.
Look, I'm a real bitch. Don't talk to me. Thanks for the water. Keep it moving, Junior.
And if the water's been like opened or that seal has been cracked at all, you can take it back with you. Where it came from. Well, what do you think?
No, I do like this idea of putting the worst out early. You know, hopefully not within the first minute. But you know, you're getting to know each other. Like, look, you know, I can be a bit of a challenge, you know. But if you'd like to stick around and get to know me, great. But you know, be warned. You know, I'm not the average.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that, and I don't think it's like, I don't know. I feel like I said that. I wouldn't announce it, but I definitely feel like over time I'd want to say to someone like, hey, this is something I do, or this is something I'm like, but I mean, hopefully they'll realize that about you, but I tend to, maybe I'd want to share things. And then, and it's even like at work, you know, like sometimes I'm like, I know there's things I could be a lot better about. So I think about those things. And then when I have to do like my review with my boss, if any of it ever comes up, I'm like, yeah, I already knew that. Like, it doesn't bother me. Cause I could be, I could, you know, I could work better on this area or whatever, and I won't get my feelings hurt. So I guess a protection thing.
I like that work example. I haven't had many new jobs in my life as an adult, but anytime I started a new job, I'm always really careful not to be too accepting of praise. Like if people are saying, oh, you're doing a great job. I'm like, no, I'm not. You know?
Yeah.
I'm doing good, but I'm still new here. Like there are definitely things I need to learn and hone before I go so far as to call myself very good at this.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes you can get, like, my job I have now, when I mean, I've had the role now, I don't even know, 6-7 years or something, but in the first, like, 18 months, I had 5 different bosses. It was very chaotic, and every single one that came, it was like, oh, shit, you know, it's stressful. It was like, and then I had one for a year, and now I've had my boss now forever, and he's awesome, but it's like, they could see you differently. You know what I mean? You work for someone and they're saying something, the next person's like, oh, you're awesome. You know, it's just, it's crazy at work because everyone's perception's different, you know, but that's me too. My boss is always like, take the compliment. And I'm like, well, I'm pointing out stuff before he is. That's just how I am. So, all right. So then we got, I am the wisest woman you've ever met, and I am the kindest soul with whom you've connected. I have the bravest heart that you've ever seen, and you've never met anyone who's as positive as I am sometimes. And so I love this, you know, just like the good in yourself, things that maybe you think you're good at and that you could, I don't know if you'd verbalize these, but you know, these are all things I'd want someone to think about me. You know what I mean? So I think that's like, okay, she's giving herself some credit here.
Now, I saw this as more of a point counterpoint, and I could be wrong. I saw the first verse as her recognizing her own faults, but then this verse being what she hears from her partner.
That
person feeding her praise. Like, look, you're the wisest woman I've ever met. You know, you have a very kind soul. I think you're brave. You know, I see these things in you, whereas you see these negatives.
That was probably when she was with Ryan Reynolds.
Or maybe it was Dave Coulier.
I don't know. I can't remember who she's married now, but I don't think she was with that person then. Oh, no, that's a good way to look at it. Because, you know, you're seeing all your bad shit and someone's over here like, no, look at this good stuff.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. That's a good way to look at it. That's all you got?
That's all I got.
That's good. Okay. And then she has, you see everything, you see every part, you see all my light and you love my dark. You dig everything of which I'm ashamed. There's not anything to which you can't relate and you're still here. That last line. Anyway, so it makes me want to cry. I'm like, oh, but I think that's, I don't know. It's a weird thing in life, I think, because to me, I think you don't always... Like, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of times our romantic love is a lot of time based on conditions of things. And then you can have people that, like, typically your parents or siblings or somebody that I feel like love you no matter what. You know what I mean? And I always felt like that with, like, my mom. Like, I used to think, like, I could probably murder somebody in front of my mom and she'd be like, oh, yeah, like, they deserve that, you know, which is probably really bad. But it was like I felt like, you know, she really saw, like, the really, really best parts of me, and that was, like, awesome. You know what I mean? And but then I think, you know, this song is probably talking more about a relationship type, maybe romantic love, and that's super awesome too. When you have someone that you feel like really knows you and sees you, but they're still there, even because not everything's good, you know?
Right. Yeah. They're recognizing the good and the bad, but at the same time, you know, building a relationship here. You know, a lot of people, when they see the bad, they're like, all right, peace out, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Especially in today's culture, which is more instant gratification oriented. You know, what can you do for me right now? And then move on when you can't do that anymore.
Well, because people can literally pick up an app and be like, oh, Tinder. I mean, you know, I don't know. I've never, you know, what is that? The one you swipe? Or I've never been on it. But it's like,
sure thing, Kelly.
Find someone next. I haven't. I would be honest. I have no reason. But I would feel comfortable doing that. Because maybe I'll build one so I can see what's about. No, because, I mean, that's how it eats. I mean, I think people kind of, okay, next, you know, right. Like that, you know, someone else will come along, you know, next. And I think that's, I don't know, that's kind of sad, but what else you got?
Yeah, you're right on the, nailed it. When it's as easy as ordering a pizza now, just finding someone else.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not finding someone who will last, but finding someone who will last for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, yep. And I think that's a lot of times some people are okay with someone who's good for just now, just to not be alone. Or, I mean, I have tons of friends like that, or with somebody they're like, eh, he's not like the person I want to be with, but he's good enough for now, you know? And then it's like, if someone else came along, okay, good. Cause you know, that kind of thing. And I personally just don't feel like that's worth pursuing in life. It's like, if they're not good for something you're considering for the long term, like, why bother, you know? But
right.
That's just me. So, okay. So then she has, I blame everyone else, not my partaking. My passive aggressiveness can be devastating. I'm terrified and mistrusting, and you've never met anyone as closed down as I am sometimes. And I just think, again, just admitting all those things that you know about yourself that are not good, you know, or that, and maybe you don't want someone to see, I don't know, but that's all I really got for that.
I've never met a woman that does not specialize in the art of passive aggressiveness.
Excuse me?
Well, it's like that thing with a friend of the show, Cameron, last name redacted, who was talking about his you know, his girlfriend disappearing and then coming back. And even though she didn't tell him that she was expecting him to run errands with her, then all of a sudden she's mad because he's not prepared to run the errands.
Yeah.
It's little things like that that just overly complicate things.
Yeah. No, I really, when I read that, but I was like, I could see that happening for people because it's like, well, you know, I'm getting ready. It's Saturday. I always got to go get douche. I mean, it is terrible, but it was like, when I read that, I really kind of felt for him, but I was like, I've probably done something like that. Because it's like, I'm making breakfast and you're mad at me because you're ready to leave the house. I didn't even know we were going anywhere. So, but we want you to read our minds a lot, you know, know what we want. We're not women, but we can't do the woman bashing on here, Steve. So
no, it's not woman bashing because I'm just kidding. You are here to give the perspective of why things are the way they are.
I really don't know. I'll be honest. That's a complicated. I'm telling you, I read that and I like went back and read it again because I was like, oh, I feel bad for him. But then again, I was like, I could see both sides of it. So I don't know why we're like that. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I agree.
What can we do better?
I don't. That'll be a podcast series for a whole other time.
For years, you could do that. Okay.
That'll be our next series, Songs with More Than Friends, where we break down relationships.
We could bring on couples and counsel them. Oh my God. Just kidding.
See,
we're gonna do your previous girlfriends first. We have a lot of podcasts.
So we're gonna do songs with just friends and then songs with more than friends. We're building a franchise here.
Then we're gonna have like divorced couples and we've ruined relationships, all this stuff.
Songs with I Will Never Be Your Friend Again.
Really not relationship experts. Okay. So then she has, what I resist persists and speaks louder than I know. What I resist you love, no matter how low or high I go. So I think this part, now that you brought up your idea of like, here's my bad, then we're giving good. I think that might kind of, you know, what this is getting at to me. It's like, whatever I don't believe about myself, or you know what I mean? Like, you're going to find the good in me and help me feel good about myself. And I don't know, it's weird because I, like, you said this before and I did like it. It was like, oh, you know, love someone the way you found them. But I strongly believe that if you love someone the right way, you can help them just be a happier, better person. And so I, in my mind, that's what he's doing for her. So
this is a theme in some of her songs. This part here reminds me of Uninvited and Head Over Feet. There's this whole idea of, I didn't mean to fall in love here. I'm actively resisting it, but you are still here with me. You are loving me for who I am, for all my faults, and I can't shake it, kind of thing. You know, you're here uninvited, but now we got to make this work.
Yeah. You will not leave. No, just kidding. Yeah.
The party's
over.
Well,
no, and I had a hard time picking a song for her because I do like a lot of her songs.
Hey, I stand for Head Over Feet. That shit hits me in the feels every time.
I know. That was my other choice. I thought maybe that would be on your list, so I didn't. Don't tell me if it is, but I just, you know, I love that song too. So she's awesome. Well, at breakup stuff. Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of the best music I love comes from someone that's probably going through heartache, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. So, all right. And then we got, I think this is the last, because a lot of this is repeating. Mm-hmm. It's got, I'm the funniest woman that you've ever known. I'm the dullest woman that you've ever known. I'm the most gorgeous woman that you've ever known. And you've never met anyone who is everything as I am sometimes. And I love that. I think I'm a self-laugher person, so I like if someone thinks I'm funny. Because I think I'm funny, but it's not for everybody. But I don't know. I think it is that whole thing. Like, you can feel like you're, you know, I think I'm pretty boring and lame, you know, myself, so I can relate to that. But when you find someone that sees that differently, it's pretty awesome. So yeah, what you got?
I have nothing to add to that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's all I got.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for the Alanis Morissette section of the show.
We learned a lot about Steve's love affairs of life today.
Yeah, we learned too much, really.
I hope she doesn't listen.
I hope she doesn't listen either. In fact, I may edit that whole segment out of the show.
Stop.
All right. Because I went first this week, Kelly, you get the first pick for next week. So what will you be bringing to us?
Okay, so you might not even know what this is. We're going to do a song called Shallow. And it's by Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. So you're probably like, what the fuck? It's from that A Star is Born movie.
Yeah, I figured that much out. The famed Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga mixtape of 2008. I don't think it came from that.
Yes. So, I like that movie a lot. I have some thoughts, so you're going to hear them.
You know, it's still in the theater here.
I'm telling you, it is a fantastic movie. It's so good. So don't go see it with me because I cried almost the whole movie, but it's a good movie. So.
I was thinking of going to see it today.
Whatever.
I really was.
Were you?
I was bored and had nothing going on. So yesterday, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll go to a movie tomorrow. And I was looking up movies, and that one's over 2 hours. I'm like, no, that's too long to be in a movie by myself. I'm not doing it. So,
well, imagine sitting next to someone crying pretty much from like 15 minutes into the end.
So instead, I slept till 11. I worked out, and I took the dog out, and that was my day. And adventured at Walmart.
Well, I'm just still pretty excited about this. I know I already told you, but I won a $50 gift card from my dentist to the movie theaters here, and I'm pretty excited.
All right. Well, I will be going really off the reservation here.
Okay.
For those of you who have not listened to the new series on PlayStation Pop Feed, 90s to Nothing with Russell Sellers, I recommend that. They recently covered Can't Hardly Wait, and they've really put me in a 90s mood lately. So I'm going with from 1995. This is Skee-Lo, I Wish. Are you familiar with that song at all, Kelly?
I feel like I do know it, but I'm going to...
It's not a particularly good song. Dude was kind of a one-hit wonder, but yeah, I dig it. So we'll be breaking that down next time.
Is that the guy that's like, I wish I was a little bit taller, wish I was...
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got it. I know it. Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
I love the 90s, so bring it. This is awesome. Okay, cool.
Alrighty. Anything you want to plug this week?
I could just follow me on Twitter or Instagram at KelJean17.
All right. You can follow me at Songs with Steve. Follow the show proper at PTBN_songs. You can email us at ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com. For Kelly, I'm Steve. We'll try to do better next time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Bad Boys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We'll be right back.